Peter.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, suddenly we've got a cast of thousands in. Phoebe has turned up. I'm not sure. I'm glad she's turned up. And we're starting this. Hello, Phoebe.
Hello, Sam.
And we're starting this, Don and Max, because the doc has texted us and said he's ringing in shortly. So won't that be exciting?
Jeez, your face has changed. You got a smile now because the doc's rung in.
We've got a smile because Phoebe's in.
The doc, Fiona.
I thought his face changed because he saw the doctor throughout the week.
Because I saw what? So we did mention, we've mentioned Don's inauguration, Phoebe, in the first segment, and also the fact that he made everyone feel great at the function when he said, "I hate these functions because they're individual awards and I'm a team man." And
why
they
are
thought,
replaying the first episode?
No, we're not doing that.
I've got something for Fiona. Can I ask you?
Well, actually, before, what are you wearing, Don? You're dressed head to toe in purple. You look like,
yep,
you look like a wiggle.
A big plum, he looks like. So the doc is ringing in.
I've got something to ask you too.
Did you watch the Brownlow, Phoebe?
I was at the Brownlow.
You're around.
What?
Yes. Well, good on you.
Yes,
that's
I did
the worst
go to the
reality show on television.
So I want to ask you this question.
Hang on. I just said I got a reaction. That is the worst reality show on television.
Okay.
The Brownlow is what it is. It's a night where they're counting votes. So there's a bit of fun at the start when you've got everybody getting in down the red carpet and people talk about what everybody's wearing. I think it's fun.
Okay.
But there is just long periods of the evening where not much happens, and it's difficult to make that exciting TV. But at least we had a close race this year.
So of some of the women or the people, women there, they describe the dresses. I just wanted to describe this describe this to you. Wearing a marquise. Yes, I saw that, Don. Wearing a Marquise Atelier well-styled dress that oozed confidence in her off-the-shoulder gown, wowing in white, a fashion moment for the Brownlow. That was worn by?
Danny Laidley.
I'm not dead-naming Danny Laidley, but Danny Laidley was at the Brownlow. I presume Tony Jones couldn't get an invite, who runs a football show on Channel 9 called The Sunday Footy Show. He couldn't get an invite. I presume Danny Laidley was at the Brownlow because he is the former coach of North Melbourne.
No.
He's not.
No. So I did a photo shoot and interview with Danielle on the Saturday morning before the Brownlow medal. Danielle was a guest of Virgin Australia. Virgin Australia is one of the sponsors of the AFL and was the sponsor of the red carpet event or portion of the Brownlow medal night, and
Virgin,
the airline, had a table in the room, and Danielle Laidley and her partner Donna were guests on that table.
Donna and Danny were guests of Virgin because
They were invited to the event.
Because of what reason?
Well, Danielle has been doing some work with Virgin Australia. Well, not work, but been involved in their Pride flight and some of the sponsorships and activations that the airlines have been undertaking.
Danielle Laidley wasn't there as a result of him being an ex-footballer or a coach at a football function. He was there as a guest of Virgin Australia Airlines.
Yes. And so that invitation didn't come from the AFL. The invitation was extended by Virgin Australia.
Virgin invite Tony Jones, who runs
Tony was there. Tony Jones and his wife were there.
Yeah, I know Tony didn't get an invite. He still rocked up.
No, no, they were both there. Tony was there with his wife.
You can't go into Sydney invite,
can you? I think there was a reaction to Tony Jones, obviously, in the AFL. He must have voiced his disapproval or amazement or whatever.
Of course he voices his disapproval at everything.
They're not getting an invitation and they soon fix that.
No, but that's fair enough, Max. If you're running... Really? He does sport for Channel 9, yeah, and right. He runs a Sunday football show, and he couldn't get an invite until he said, gee, I haven't got an invite. That's a reasonable question, isn't it, Phoebe?
It is. I actually think there had been an invitation issued, but it had just gone missing somewhere. But he was absolutely in the room, and he was absolutely there with his wife.
Why would you want an invite to that?
Oh, but that doesn't matter, Don. That's irrelevant.
That's his business area. So
now, can I? I want to ask you. I know you.
You can ask on.
I'm genuinely interested in this question.
Okay.
I know you'll think
I'm taking a deep breath. Okay, go on.
About Danny Laidley.
Go on.
Danny Laidley was there, you said, with Donna.
Yes.
What can I ask you this? Is Danny Laidley, what is he?
She.
I'm sorry, that was not a deliberate. She is signalling, are they in a lesbian relationship?
No. Same sex.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking you. Is he termed a lesbian?
Hey, Jack.
Someone said, "What is Danny Laidley?
What does she identify as?"
She identifies as a
woman,
of course. So if she's going out with a woman, that would make her a lesbian.
I can't speak with any expertise on this matter, but because that is her partner. They are in a relationship, and
but
I'm
if
not
two
going
women
to,
go out
if
together,
you wanna, if you want to use, if you want to, I don't have an answer to this one actually. Sorry.
What if I wonder what, Phoebe?
Well,
I'm only just asking.
No, she can't explain it
because I
haven't got a quick answer.
Because I take on Donna,
yes,
and Danielle,
yes,
are in a relationship, and
they're both women.
Yes.
It's an umbrella. I'll give you a very good example of how difficult it is to answer these questions depending on how someone identifies or what their pronouns are. Do you know what a bisexual person's preferences are when they have an attraction to a singular sex?
No.
A semi-bisexual. Other people would just call
that a 2S, a two spirit?
It's just... It's a term that's it's just if a man is a bisexual, has a preference to women, he's known as semi-bisexual.
I see. So that's so I noticed someone was a 2S. They fall under the umbrella of a 2S.
Think about that.
A two spirit, LGBTQ+. I was just trying to understand. Someone said, "What is Danny Laidley? Here is the doc."
See if we can make sense of it. Yeah, it's just
right.
I will
get it going, please. And you got to have your headphones on.
Well, it is going. You get him going.
How do I do it?
Well, you just
there,
talk
Doc?
The microphone.
Hello, hello, hello.
Have you organised that, Max?
I have organised it.
I'll kick that out again.
Don't do that. You're making the things go.
Doc, well done. I said to Don said, have you asked the doc if he's coming? I said, I don't have to ask the doc if he's coming on. He said he'll come on every other week, and this is the other week. Mm. And I said, he'll come back to us. And lo and behold, Doc, you came back to us. So welcome. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Well, you know, one of the things I've learned in life, and it's taken me a little while to master it, is when you say you're going to do something, you do it. And you turn up on time. I've now become paranoid about being late for things. And you know what? Someone else who I know who was very good at that was Shane Warne. I know that Warney used to pride himself on if he said he was going to be somewhere, he was going to be there, and he'd always do his best to make sure he was on time. And Andrew Johns, one of the greatest ever rugby league players of all time, someone who worked really well with Andrew Johns said to me, you know, Joey turns up to everything 15 minutes early because he's paranoid about being late. So I'm now one of those people that if someone's late for something, it's different if it's just a couple of mates catching up at the pub. But if you have a work meeting or some other appointment and you're sitting there 10 minutes on thinking, where are they? Oh, mate.
I am
it grates at me.
I am a stickler for that. Doc, if you are on time, it means you're late.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Well, what about young Max? Has Max got a different mindset on this one?
I tell you what, mate. When I was about 10 or 12 and I was 2 minutes late, he drove off on me when he was supposed to pick me up. This man is a stickler for being on time. He doesn't care what age you are, what gender you are, what your mental, what your IQ is. He will drive off on you if you're not on time.
And you know what? I had this bloke who was asking me for a favour, right?
Yes.
This is a true story. A guy contacted me and said, look, I need your help. I need a favour. And I said, okay, I'll meet you for a coffee, right? So I give him the details. I'm sitting downstairs from 2GB, where I work here in Sydney, and I'm sitting downstairs, and we said 10 a.m. So I'm sitting there, 5 past 10, 10 past 10. So I call him. He goes, oh, mate, I'm just on the bridge. And I said, what bridge? He goes, the Harbour Bridge. I said, well, mate, I said, we said 10 o'clock. And he said, yeah, I know. I won't be too far. I'll be there in the next 10 minutes. And I said, mate, I won't be here. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be sitting here. You want a favour from me. I've been sitting here since 10 o'clock. I'm a busy person. And you're on the bridge. You didn't even bother to ring me. And here's my golden rule now. If you're going to be 5 minutes late, you've got to let them know 5 minutes before you were due there. So if you say you're going to be there at 10 and you realise you're running 5 minutes late, you've got to ring them by 9:55 and say, hey, just giving you a heads up, I'm running 5 minutes late. Is that being too precious, Don? Am I being too precious?
Yes.
Am I getting old?
Yes.
No, you're Don.
You're not. You're actually not.
But it's anyway.
Ignorance.
Whoa.
You should have seen.
Phoebe? Yeah, yes. Phoebe's here. Sorry.
I was about to say who's here.
Someone's buried the lead. Phoebe's on there.
Doc, I was about to say you're speaking to Max, Phoebe, Don and me, but you started off
and
on
I.
that... My pronouns are thee, thou, and thy, so you can treat me any way you like. So I was about to say that, but you are absolutely spot on. It is ignorance and bad manners to turn up actually on time. You should be there a minute before you're meant to be there.
Doc, can I ask a quick question?
Well, hang on.
You can ask whatever you want.
Just a quick question. What's your oldest kid's age?
Freddie is 7.
Freddie's 7. Is that year 2?
He's in year 2, correct.
Right, I'll give you an example. If he goes into year 3 and school finishes at 3:30, you call him at 3:20 saying, what time do you finish school? 3:30, Dad. Okay, no problem. I'll be there at 3:30, make sure you're there. Class finishes at 3:30, takes you 5 minutes to walk out. If your dad's not there because he's driven off because you're 5 minutes late, do I have to call him or should he just pick me up from school?
Oh, I think you'd probably ring child services and dob on your dad, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Well, I presume Max is talking about me. If I ask Max what time, if I ask Max what time would you like me to pick you up, and he takes all those calculations into consideration, meaning it finishes at 3:30, but it'll take me 7 minutes. Just say, pick me up at 3:37, and I'll be there. Don't tell me 3:30.
Max,
it sounds like this lesson has stayed with you, and that's the most important part of a lesson that people remember the lesson. And no, it's you've remembered it. It's stuck with you, and therefore you're punctual when you turn up and meet up with your dad.
Yeah, but I think it's a little bit deeper than this, Doc. I think there's therapy involved here.
Hey, mate, there's always therapy involved when you're talking. How are you, Don?
Well, I'm glad you're online because his lordship face has lit up unbelievably since you've come online.
That's bullshit.
Oh, it's not bullshit. You were there going through your bloody routine. Oh, will he give us the arse? Will he do this? I don't know if he's going to turn up. I'm not going to ring him.
That is a complete and utter lie, Don. You said
did his face light up,
you
Fiona?
You are a fool.
Yes.
Thank you, Fiona.
You said to me...
that's it, Doc.
You said to me...
Thank God you've turned up, Don.
Shut up, Don, or I'll turn your sound down.
Good.
You said to me, Don, is the doc coming on? I said, I don't know. I'm not contacting him because he said he'll come on every other week and today's the week. And, of course, because he's got some ethics and some morals and he's got not ignorant, he turned up.
Well, don't suck hole.
Well, I'm just telling you, I didn't say any of those other things you said. Can I ask you? I've got two questions I want to ask you, Doc.
And look, you know what I even did? I'm going to give you an example.
Go ahead, Doc.
I'm going through my text messages here with Sam. Because I was due to call in at 9:30 a.m., which is our standard record time, I sent him a text message at 9:17 saying I'll call in at 9:35. So I realised at 9:17 I was going to miss my 9:30 appointment by 5 minutes, so I gave him 13 minutes notice to let him know I was going to be 5 minutes late.
And now, what did I do?
I sent you back an emoji
with a kiss.
An emergency. What? It's an emergency.
No, I sent you back an emoji with a kiss.
Why would you kiss him?
Oh, to say that I got the message.
No, there's something deeper than this. Doctor, John, there's problems in therapy.
Don't talk over him, please.
Sure, and keep in mind, too, this is the same bloke who was having a go at me recently, Sam Newman, because I called him bro in a text message. He thought that that was just a little bit too familiar. He's now sending me kiss and love heart emojis.
Of course, I always do that to say I appreciate it, giving you a kiss.
I get a thumbs up.
Well, that's very kind.
No, that's very kind. When I organise stuff, I get a thumbs up.
Now, listen, I've got something for each of you to think about, and you don't have to answer straight away, but Max and Phoebe and Don and Sam, I'd like you to have a think about this, and at the end of this discussion, I can hopefully come to you for an answer on it, because the rapper Kanye West, 45 years of age, he's revealed that he's never read a book. He says, reading is like eating Brussels sprouts for me. And Warnie famously revealed in his autobiography, he said, I can honestly say I've never read a complete book in my life. I've started a few, but I tend to lose concentration and I forget what had happened in the previous pages. So I want to know, what have you never, ever done? What are the things that most other people in life have done, but you've never managed to squeeze into your life so far? So don't answer straight away, but I want you to have a think about that. And I'll come back to your answers in just a moment. Listen to me, I'm acting like I'm the host of this show.
No, you're the producer. You're a control freak.
But here's a meaty one for you, something to sink your teeth into for just a moment. There's a proposal in the Northern Territory at the moment to disarm the police. So there's a high-profile court case there where a police officer shot dead a man who had stabbed him in the shoulder with a pair of scissors. And this police officer, Zachary Rolfe, shot dead the man Kumanjai Walker. Obviously a tragic case, but Kumanjai Walker, 3 days earlier, had run towards two other police officers with an axe. 3 days later, he stabs the police officer, Zachary Rolfe, in the shoulder with a pair of scissors. Zachary Rolfe shot him, and sadly, Kumanjai Walker died. But now there are community groups saying, and I quote, police must immediately be disarmed of weapons in remote communities. This is the only way that there will be a ceasefire. Now, can you imagine, and Don has spoken about some of the issues in remote areas where you've got all sorts of violent crimes that happen. Can you imagine if you took the guns away from police? I mean, that is a tool of the trade. And when the you-know-what hits the fan and you've got someone in front of you who could kill you, what are you going to do? I mean, yes, you go for the taser. The taser doesn't always work. It doesn't suit every environment. But that's what you've got. You've got the gun there to say to someone, don't kill me or I'll kill you.
Yeah. But, Doc, if at all possible, why wouldn't the police, and I couldn't agree with you more, why wouldn't they be trained to shoot people in the legs?
Well, where did the bloke get shot?
Let me answer that question. Let me correctly answer that question. They are trained to shoot the largest body mass, which is the stomach, right? If you attempt to shoot a leg, you're a greater chance of missing the leg.
Fair enough.
And then a bullet can then ricochet off anything and can strike anyone, right? If you've got someone who's a sharpshooter, they might be able to go, I'm going to shoot an arm, a leg, or a finger, or a toenail. But a police officer with a standard weapon, in close quarters, you've got to shoot the largest body mass, which is the stomach, right? Whether if they're facing you, it's the stomach. If they're facing away from you, you wouldn't be shooting them because they're facing the other way anyway. But that's why they train them to shoot them in the middle. And in a remote community, if someone is shot, it can take a bit longer for police to get other help there from emergency services. But there's also a bit of a lesson for people as well, isn't there? And I feel terribly for the family of Kumanjai Walker. But, you know, we need to teach our kids and teach our mates, don't go threatening police, because otherwise there's a chance something like this could happen. But can you imagine if they said in Melbourne, we're going to take all the guns away from police? You think about some of the incidents that you've had in Bourke Street and in other major streets in Melbourne where we've had people who've gone on a rampage, and sometimes you've even had heroes with a shopping trolley who've managed to knock the person down and help police take them into custody. But sometimes the best weapon is the one hanging off the police officer's belt.
What about the coppers who get their cars rammed by people who have pinched cars? Just a nice shot through the windscreen might deter them if they keep doing it.
Well, you've got to, I suppose, send a message to people. I don't know whether they'd shoot through the windscreen. It depends when they evaluate that threat and how they evaluate that threat. But I don't know, Phoebe, you'll have a view on this, but if you're the person who's got to make that split-second decision, I really feel for the police officers, because when I make the wrong call on my radio show, you know, we play the wrong piece of audio and everyone moves on. But in a police officer's life, you make the wrong call, people die.
Now, Phoebe will have an opinion that is conducive to her employer's opinion. Go ahead, Phoebe, please.
Well, going back to Ben's first point, his first question was, you know, should police be disarmed? No, I don't think that at all. I think, you know, I think it's actually important that the police are able to, you know, to be appropriately armed. And I also think that, Ben, you hit the nail on the head. It's a life and death decision is very different to what you and I deal with in the media, where, as you say, in your situation it's playing the wrong piece of audio. In my situation, you know, it's perhaps getting something wrong in print that you can correct pretty easily. It's a very different set of circumstances and responsibilities.
And, Doc,
what's been your biggest stuff up in print, Phoebe?
You know, look, there's been plenty. Everyone in media has made a stuff up. You know that, Ben. Mine wasn't so much a stuff up, but I remember the one that is probably the best dinner party story was when I ended up having to give evidence in a court case about a particular celebrity's erectile dysfunction, and that was very strange.
I thought you squashed that.
I was going to say, that wasn't Don or I, was it?
No, I was just going to say,
I've never been to court.
Well, I'm intrigued to know more on that, Phoebe, but I don't know whether you're willing to reveal. So why would you be called to court to give evidence about someone's erectile dysfunction?
Many, many years ago, and I won't say the name of the person involved, but I was brought in as a witness because I...
What to?
As a witness?
Well, what not to? No, I shouldn't say that. That's the wrong... That's. Let me
start
again.
They couldn't get it up.
There had been... I had written a story about this particular person who was promoting a product that helped men that needed some help in the bedroom.
Get and, a hard on.
Yes, and the, oh, there Nixon. Had been an issue. Oh, no. No, but there had been some issues whether or not that this person was telling the truth with this advertising that they were involved in. And because I had interviewed this individual and had published a story about this particular advertisement that they were involved in, this arrangement that they had, I ended up being, I ended up being called
in the
case.
And you know what, Phoebe, I'm testing my memory here. Was the person a media personality?
Yes, yes. And so
Were the initials DH?
No, they weren't.
No.
RN?
Who was it?
RN?
Well, it was Ian Turpie, actually. It was a case.
That's who it was? Yes. Turp.
The late Ian Turpie.
Ian Turpie. And it involved a situation where he was... No, he was involved in a sponsorship. Was it? He was being... he was advertising the success of a particular spray.
So was false advertising.
Yes. From memory, it was the... I can't remember actually which body had taken action against this particular organisation.
Yeah, I remember it. And it was whether or not he had actually been using the product. And when you think about it, I mean, back in the day to treat that condition,
but
they were marketing things where you just use a spray and put it on the end of your
knob.
Member.
But from memory, it was actually the company that had... published the advertisement and paid Ian to be the, for want of a better word, the face of the advertisement that was having the action taken against having the action taken against it, and I ended up having to give
hard evidence.
Thank you, Sam. I had to give hard evidence, yes, and so that was many years ago. And one of those more unusual moments in your life where you sit there and think to yourself, "How on earth did I end up in this situation?"
Doc, before you go, before you say you've got run out of time, I want to ask you two things. Is there any action or any excitement about the Swans coming down to play in the grand final, or is it a rugby territory up there? The rugby people must be pretty bemused that they get fairly big crowds, but the bumper crowds in Sydney and Brisbane and down here in Melbourne have been monumental this year.
Yeah, no, we're very pumped about the Swans. We're feeling very confident as well about it. And the best news to come out of the Swans this week was the two-word statement involving Lance Franklin, where they just put out a statement saying that this is what Buddy wants to say, and he was saying one more. He's going to go around one more time, one more year. And just think, was it Andrew Demetriou who was running the AFL at the time, who said there was no way in the world that Buddy Franklin would still be playing for the Sydney Swans in 2022, 10 years after signing that deal. Well, here we are, 10 years later, 2022, and not only is Buddy there in year 10 of that 10-year contract, but he's about to go around in season number 11, and he's going to have a premiership in season number 10. So the Swans will win this weekend, and we are so pumped about it. We were so nervous in the game last weekend when it came down to 1 point right on the full-time siren. So, look, I feel very confident the Swans are going to get up this weekend.
You could not possibly feel very confident.
That's extremely confident.
No, you could.
In fact, I'm willing to bet $100 if anyone wants to take it.
I'll take it.
You'll take it, Max?
Yeah. Don't start gambling, please, Max.
I gamble responsibly. Yeah, done.
Gamble responsibly.
So did you know, Doc, that Geelong have played since 1989 in 10 grand finals?
And you're a part of zero.
What? What did you say then?
Go on.
No, what did you say?
Too soon.
Oh, I didn't know what he said.
He said you were part of zero of them.
I wasn't playing in 1980.
That was a technicality. I wasn't playing
in 1980.
See what happens? Don't pick up your son from school on time and he serves that kind of stuff up there.
10 grand finals since 1989, which is a pretty good record. One every 3 years, an appearance. They've only won three and lost six, but you would be foolhardy, a spendthrift with a good sense of humour, Doc, to back the Swans Saturday.
Did you say they've won three and lost six?
Why are you basing?
Yes. That's nine.
Oh, and they're playing in one on Saturday, right. You dumbass.
And why would you be basing it on history? Why would you be basing this year's result on history?
I'm just saying they've been very successful, Geelong.
It's in the past, Johnny.
That's the only thing you judge history on is the past, Don.
I just want to clarify, Max, are you happy with 100? Do you want to take it back to 50 or you want to stick with 100?
No, I'll stick with 100. I'm good for it.
With 100?
I'll tip in 1,000.
Lock it in, gamble responsibly.
Yes, always.
Now, listen... What have you never done? What have you never done in your life? Who wants to kick this off? Don, what's something you've never done in your entire life? Because Kanye West has never read a book. What has Don Scott never done?
Given a shit.
Oh, sorry. That was meant to be the crickets. Yeah, that was it. Got the wrong.
Okay, while Don's thinking, I'll jump in on this one. I've never smoked.
Oh.
Never smoked?
No, never had a cigarette.
No, not even a puff.
No. No,
good
I haven't.
Good girl, Phoebe.
It's just not
Max?
My thing.
No, go to dad.
What have you never done, Max?
No, I can't say it. Go to dad.
I could tell you one, but we'd get put off air. No, we wouldn't get put off really? Air. You'd think it's pretty ordinary. No, it's not ordinary.
I mean, to be fair, that's the line that most people think. No. Yeah, so just say it.
Come on.
Go on, you pussy.
Should we go to Don and see if he's actually got an answer yet?
No one, Sam, just be honest. No one's going to pull you off.
I'll be honest.
Ah, well, they, you've said it. I've never done that to myself.
Same here.
I've never given myself a hand job.
Oh, you wankers.
That's it. We are not. And that's my point. People say, surely you've pulled the top off it occasionally. I said, never, ever.
Never.
You know what?
Exactly.
I've always had someone there to do it for me. Yeah.
You know what?
No, that's a joke. That's a lie. But I've never done that.
Doc, do you know what he's never done?
Lovely conversation. What's he never done, Max?
Have you ever shaved your chest?
No.
Never?
As in, I've done the clippers.
Have you ever clipped it?
Yeah, I've done the clippers, yeah.
How old are you, 75? 76?
Who are you talking to?
You, the person I'm looking at.
Yeah, well, I'm older than that.
78.
Whatever, go on, what?
Never shaved his chest. It's like a bloody jungle up there. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Max.
It's gross because he wears it.
He's gone ratty. I've never shaved my chest either. What are you trying to do?
It's gross.
What about
you? Because you're out in the boat and you wear budgie smugglers and you got your...
Well, that's right. I'm a male.
It's all grey.
I'm hirsute.
The problem is disgusting.
Boys, the problem is you end up looking like one of those silverback gorillas, right? Where it's just like, Chief. You know, there's so much hair there where you can do a bit of hair maintenance. And what the word is, it's more trimming.
Grooming.
Right? It's more trimming and grooming rather than shaving. You don't actually shave it so it goes nude. Duck. You just kind of trim it and bring it back a little bit. And I'll say something else. If you're going to do the chest... Don't be afraid of going down a little lower as well. Because I'll tell you, when you clear out the weeds, the trees look bigger.
You've taken the words out of my mouth, Doc. If you ever shaved the plums, suddenly it looks like you've got a tree stump down there.
You're right, actually, Doc. I look after properties. It's called whippersnipping. The tree looks much better. It stands out, doesn't it?
I've heard you've got a whippersnipper. It's good to talk to you, boys.
Well, I didn't get you to ask. All right, then. Well, I was going to ask you
He's going.
Well,
I've got a family I've got to look after.
All right.
Well, and he's got another appointment got to be at.
All right, well, we'll... Doc, it's been fantastic. So if you want to put $1,000 on the swans, let me know. Oh, 100, was it?
No. I've got 100 with Max and Phoebe. It's lovely hearing your voice and... Let's do this again soon. In fact, let's do this in 2 weeks, eh?
It's a date. Let's do it.
And I'll just wait for the call. I won't be contacting you. Thank you,
Don. No, you just know I'll be here. Of course I'll be here.
Well, good on you, Don.
I just want to say I love you, boys, and I love you, Phoebe, and I love having a chat with you. Behave yourselves, and I'll talk to you soon.
You star, Doc.
Busy. All
right. Okay. Get the clippers out and start shaving.
Right. That's it.
No, you're still on the
phone. Oh, you turn him off, please. Sorry, Doc. We're just grappling with technology.
You cannot be serious.
See you, Doc.
Bye-bye. Check.
Now, are we winding this up?
Well, I know. I've got a question for Fiona.
No, but we're coming back, though, is what I'm saying.
No, ask the questions because the next one will do sport. There's plenty happening in sport.
No, we're going on because we've got an interview coming in. We've got an interview coming in. I wanted to ask you this. Go on then.
Well, I'd like Fiona, there's a story going around Melbourne, and you being a reporter.
Oh, gosh, okay.
Can you tell me a current footballer who went interstate, rented his house out to an ex footballer, and
who's in the media?
I don't know if he's in the media
or not. Yeah, he's in the media.
And the house has been trashed. And the first report I've got, I can't find it to be substantiated, but
we'll 60,000... be very careful, please, Don.
...thousands of dollars damage was done to the house.
I have heard this rumour, but I...
No names?
We're not going to say anything.
Well, I mean, it's something that...
That's fun.
It's obviously something that none of us can substantiate. But there's certainly I have heard that rumour.
Well, whose house was it? Don't ask about the house. You can't even do that. Okay.
So which means it's pointless probably bringing it up. But I know the person who is allegedly accused of trashing it. I just find that very hard to believe. I find it very hard to believe. I don't know the person personally, but just from
from
his reputation and... what he's done as a public profile, I find that very hard to believe. But the only person would know would be the person who rented the house to him. And if you haven't got that from him, I don't know how you would substantiate it other than that. Can I ask you this? Now, you'll think that this is... this is a segue. Gil McLaughlin, I'm told, at the Brownlow, said that he thought Cripps was extraordinarily fortunate to be there taking a Brownlow medal because he challenged his suspension and got off. Fancy challenging the going through the process of challenging your suspension a la the AFL guidelines, you being successful and then criticising the player for getting off because he went through the guidelines the AFL set up. What a joke. That man is out of control. So if you think that's basically... That's wrong?
Yeah.
What was it?
Because the AFL upheld his suspension and then they went to the next step up, which doesn't take into or doesn't involve the AFL fully. And then they found that he was not guilty. The AFL still upheld the suspension.
Please, Max, I'm not. What I'm saying is the man got off because he went through the channels, the legal channels of disputing his thing, and he got off. So he was eligible to win the Brownlow. So when he's standing up there, McLaughlin, I'm told, says he's very fortunate to be getting a vote or being winning the Brownlow because he should have been suspended. That's what.
No, that's his opinion. That's McLaughlin's opinion.
Fuck me. Why would
I'm agreeing with you.
Yes. Why would he have to say that?
That's
if
exactly right.
No, mate. Seriously.
He says everything. He says what he wants.
No. That's a de facto thing of not cheating, but getting out of something. What about this, Phoebe? I want your opinion on this. I'm reading this. Speculation has grown online that the San Francisco-born Hans Neumann, a relative newcomer to the sport of chess, inserted wireless vibrating anal beads up his ass, into his body, before his victorious match against the world number one grandmaster Magnus Carlsen. Chess fans have speculated that an accomplice watching the match at Springfield in St. Louis used a chess program to determine the perfect move and then sent encoded instructions through the vibrating anal beads so that he was able to make the correct move. What would you make of that? Is that taking cheating to the final and last nth degree?
Well,
putting anal beads up your coit and waiting for someone to tell you what move to make.
Like an SOS signal of some description.
Morse code.
Morse code, that's it. Yes, yeah. Morse code, thank you.
It's a definition of a win-win for him, if that's how he's
Morse
inclined.
Code.
Well, look, honestly, you have to give the fellow points for... inventiveness. Yeah. It's extraordinary.
Maybe he got the idea from, now we were talking about this, our friend who was getting sexual transmitted things from his girlfriend at dinner.
Alcott.
What's his name?
Dylan Alcott.
Quite openly said that he was at a restaurant getting jigged up by his wife. Oh, his girlfriend.
No, he was. He was doing it to her.
Yes.
Yeah. He was doing it to her.
Yes. He had a phone app that was controlling vibrating knickers.
Oh, I thought she was doing it to him.
No, Max is right.
Mate, what's the... He's paralysed from the waist down, is he not?
I thought that might have been the technology that was enabling him to...
That makes more sense why you were talking...
Maybe he got... Maybe Magnus or the bloke who won the chess championships got the idea. What do you make of that?
I wouldn't think so, but I just think this chess...
Could you ever imagine a time when you'd insert anal beads, Phoebe, just in order to cheat to win something?
I love the fact that you've waited until I've been here to ask this question.
No, I was going to ask the doc. But if you remember, I sort of got two things to ask you. One was the grand final, and then I was going to ask you, and I said, all right, well, we will leave it. I was going to ask the doc, is that extraordinary that you would go to that level to win something by putting anal beads up your bum?
As I said, look, you know, cheating is not on. Whichever way you cheat, it's just not on. So putting that to one side, I have to give credit, as I said, for inventiveness, because to come up with that as a way of getting the Morse code as to what particular moves should be made on a board is just next level, absolutely next level.
Now I want to ask you this.
All
right.
No, can I ask a cruel joke?
Go ahead.
A crude joke?
Yes. No, crude joke.
Crude joke. Mm. Do you know...
No, don't be
sorry. Sorry in advance, well, Phoebe.
Go on. What?
What's the difference between a blowjob and anal?
Oh, come on. We've got a lady.
That's why I apologise.
Sorry, about. I might be a little bit old.
No.
A blowjob makes your day. Anal makes your whole week.
Yes, you idiot, Max. You absolute numbskull.
I thought it was just fitting for the topic.
I think we're going to edit this.
No, we're not going to. Could I tell you what?
No.
What is the difference between a chickpea and a lentil?
No, I don't pay $100 for a chickpea to pee on me, or a lentil to pee on me. Sorry.
Where'd you get these jokes from?
I get them from him. It's him.
Max, I'll tell you one thing you've got to learn about doing stuff like this, mate. Never step over the someone who is actually trying to make a point by being a smartass. there's no point me asking you that question if you're going to fuck it up by pretending you know the answer. Now, Phoebe.
Yes, sir.
Do you think, and we've probably had this conversation before, do you think it's a good idea that they put all the footballers who are about to play in the grand final in some boats and sail up the Yarra River where no one can see them? Some of them might get seasick. It might be raining and no one – it'll be – what is the idea of that, seeing as we've closed the city down with two public holidays and no one's in the city? What would be the point – what is the thinking of the people who run this competition?
Well
– unless we should let – see how it unfolds, and if it's a great success, we will say so.
Well, exactly. If it's a great success, that's fantastic. My personal opinion is it's ridiculous, and it seems to be an idea that was – pun intended, first floated last year, possibly to have been used in Perth, but then it didn't happen, and so it's actually happening this year.
Did
here
you
in
say
Melbourne.
Floated?
Yes, pun intended, yes.
Oh, you said that, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, but I just think this is reinventing the wheel. I mean, people want – I get it. I get that, you know, it's part of the idea of keeping the players apart from the general public, but –
apart,
you either do it or you don't. Put them in the cars and send them
down.
What do
you mean apart? That's in the idea is to present them to the public. But
on a boat where they're so far away from people.
This is my point. Isn't the idea to present the players, generally speaking, in touching distance of the players as they go down the street in cars or whatever, rather than looking at them through binoculars on the river?
Was it ever presented as the fact that social distancing? Out of curiosity?
Yeah, I think that's really part of it.
Was
it's
it?
Part okay. of that sort of, that sort of idea. On. Well, if you look at the players, you know, the Geelong players at the Brownlow Medal on Sunday, they were the first to arrive at the event. They did the red carpet separate to the rest of the guests, so they were the first team there, and then they sat in a separate room. They weren't actually in the Palladium itself. They were seated in a separate room to have dinner. So there was a little bubble around them, and... you know, we're still taking plenty of precautions, clearly, to make sure that everybody who is involved in that grand final, those two grand final teams are healthy on Saturday.
Oh, yes. Oh, I see.
But it is peculiar,
so sitting
really.
On the back, sitting on the back, if it's weather permitting, sitting on the back of an open-top car with on your own being driven by a driver who's got a mask on down Bourke Street or Flinders Street or whatever, waving to the crowd who are probably 3 or 4 or 5 metres away, you reckon that's protecting themselves from COVID while there's 90,000 people going to the ground to watch you?
I think that the traditional cavalcade of cars through the city is preferable. I just don't understand how there's going to be much excitement or atmosphere with people with teams on boats floating down the Yarra. It just sounds complicated and a bit stupid if you ask me.
So, okay, so the AFL give, they say all clear on some of no investigation about some of the decisions made in the Swans Collingwood game. How you could possibly say that is extraordinary when there were two glaring free kicks, and I don't watch the football except I watched the last 10 minutes of it. Two glaring free kicks when the man got pushed in the back so blatantly that it was a joke, and the other time was when he was given a 50-metre penalty, the Collingwood bloke, because he didn't come back on the mark because he wasn't asked to. He just stood where he thought the mark was, and the umpire said, no, you're not on the mark. Come back a bit. He didn't say that. He just gave him 50 metres. Resulted in two goals.
I know. Well, the first 50 metres wasn't That 50-metre that you're referring to didn't happen in the last 10 minutes, I don't think. It happened in the second quarter. But the reason that none of the commentators knew about that is because the AFL released a statement saying the 10-metre rule, which is the square, which extends out to everything, you're not to overstep that mark. Players should know. They were getting sick and tired of the players overstepping and then getting asked to call back. They thought it was time-wasting. That's what the AFL thought. So they said... Again, like any umpire, umpires will umpire differently because they're different people. That umpire wasn't having it. Someone had already been called back previously because it was a sideways kick. Ginnivan overstepped the mark. The umpire definitely should have said, come back to your respective mark. But he didn't. He overstepped and he just went 50 metres. And that push in the back was a push in the back.
Right, resulted in two goals. Right, so now I know, I'm nowhere, I don't care, I'm saying this. How much time do we... The welcome to country at the football. There was a man there with a beard that came out and gave us a lecture on who we are, where the boundaries are of the country that we live in. We're so fortunate to be here. But what is going on? The welcome to country at the foot took 7 minutes. Would it be possible? Would it be possible without us having to apologise for who we are and why we're here? Would it be possible for someone to say at the start of a game, we acknowledge the traditional landowners of the game that this at the ground that this game's about to be played on, and we pay our respects to the elders, past and present, whatever, and that's it. We had a lecture on. Seriously, on why we are here, why we should be embarrassed, who we are, what the fuck is... seriously, it is... how does this just allow to get bigger and bigger and bigger? It's a rort. And I don't care if someone says, oh, pay respects for the ground that we're playing on. We do it at every drop of out, at every function. But to have a lecture about what we should be thinking, and it is honestly, and no one pushes back on it because they think, oh, if we push back on it, we'll be called racist, or it's not conducive to the spirit. It's honestly cringeworthy.
Sam, what are you actually saying? Are you saying there should not be a welcome to country?
I didn't say that, Phoebe.
Yes, so maybe just clarify that, because people taking certain parts of what you said out of context.
I don't give a stuff what people say what I said. If you listen to what I said, not talking about you, Phoebe, I said, would it be possible at the start of a game to play the national anthem or whatever it is, welcome the sides on, and have someone say... could we just acknowledge the traditional owners of the country or welcome to country? We acknowledge the ground that we're about to play the game on, and we respect the elders and past and present, and get on with it. That's it. That's a simple 30-second statement. This went on for 7 minutes about a bloke lecturing us about where the boundaries are of the land. It's not necessary.
So would you prefer an elder doesn't give the welcome to country?
I would prefer someone, yes.
It's being absolutely overdone. It is really being overdone, and it's gone to the ridiculous.
Absolutely. I prefer someone, a spokesman, like at any function, someone gets up and says, the MC, just the host. I can tell you this now. When we were celebrating a few weeks ago about Melbourne's birthday, the 187th year of Melbourne's birthday, the elders didn't want to be part of it because they didn't want to celebrate the birthday of Melbourne. But they charged a fee of just under, because they were asked to have a welcome to country. They came and charged a fee to give welcome to the country, even though they weren't on board with it. Why don't they just have enough integrity to say, no, we don't agree with it, and we're not going to turn up at your function, rather than take a fee to come and do it? Honestly, we will pay respects. We do every time we are here. That was the country. We pay respects to the elders. Why does it go on for 7 minutes? It'll end up going on be a pantomime for half an hour soon if someone doesn't push back on it. It is ridiculous. And to sit there and have to listen to someone telling you about what is going on. Pay respects. I said that. Someone announce it and get on with it. Honestly,
it's
and truly.
Being, it really is being overdone. It really is getting out of hand, being overdone. I spoke last week about kindergarten. Went to my child, granddaughter's kindergarten. It's there. I've been to my son's school, and it's welcome to country. I mean, it is just everywhere. Went to a dinner. We went to a dinner on the weekend. Welcome to country. It is getting out. It really is getting out of hand.
It's a feigned apology for a country that is. We've been made to feel guilty about who we are and why we're here. I mean, honestly, the country is here because it's been made into what it is by people being here. But give thanks to the people who were here in the first place. I mean, how hard is that? And the AFL, and a bloke called Blue Boy on the social media said, why do I bang on about Winmar conversation we had all the time? I said, I'll tell you why we bang on about it, because we were singled out by the McLaughlin for having a sensible, rational discussion about that incident 30 years ago, and I make no apology for having it, but yet we were singled out and we were actually thrown under the bus for having a very sensible discussion. Of course there's a reason why he did it.
There was a reason why he did it.
Of course there is a reason, because he's apologising for his own social elite. Yeah. That's all right. Yeah, they had a statue, and if you want to say that they had a statue and he's pointing to his chest, that's fine. We said the only person who would know what he meant was Winmar. But why we had to endure a 1-year court case over that is sheer projection and people apologising for their own social eliteness, like McLaughlin. It was. I tell you, I'll bring it up. And that Blue Boy, I don't know if he calls himself Blue Boy because he's drowning or he's cold or he's a Carlton supporter, but he said, why do I keep going on about it? I'll bring it up every week, because that was the most disgraceful court case ever brought against people for no reason. Now,
can I just say something about climate change? Isn't it interesting? I was talking to a farmer yesterday from Japarrot. They're going to have the best crops ever. Now, 4 years ago when we started this podcast, everybody was crying out about the Darling drying up. The fish were dying and all the rest of it. Climate change. And we talked about Dorothy McKellar's poem before, My Country, a land of sweeping plains. This is Australia. This is Australia. When are they going to start and wake up? And the other thing is, before I go, my bitch is... Tomorrow is a holiday. Can you believe it? And as a person who's self-employed like myself said yesterday, we'll be working on Thursday and Friday. Why the government gives a holiday for a grand final is bloody well beyond me.
That's Friday.
And tomorrow we get a day off because of the Queen Remembrance Day. Please.
Yep, it is. I don't know if you're allowed to have an opinion on this, Phoebe.
I think the grand final public holiday is just ridiculous.
Because it keeps people out of the city when you want people in there to see the players go up the street in the cars.
It just makes no sense. It's never made any sense to me. And I think it's ridiculous.
Just incidentally, on you said climate change.
Electric cars?
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah. No.
Well done, Phoebe. We guessed it.
No.
Where's Trump?
I was watching this professor who's on who has the other side of what he thinks climate change is about from overseas, and he said CO2 emissions has absolutely nothing. This is cars, planes, trains, trucks. CO2 emissions have absolutely nothing to do with global warming or climate change. It's about the activities of the sun and the moon and solar flares, and it's been going on for hundreds of years. And he cited the fact that there were record floods and record temperatures hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and this is a furphy. This is an absolute hoax about what's going on with CO2 emissions. That's just what he said. That's not what I said. I can show you him saying it, and I can give you his qualifications, and he is backed up by a hell of a lot of people, but we are hoodwinked into driving electric vehicles that are not, there's no such thing as zero emissions. They just get transported to another country where they have to use all the machinery to dig up the products to make them. Now, anything...
I just love the fact that you're very passionate today. You've got...
Oh, that, I tell you, if I go to the grand final, I will make sure...
Talk about the grand final.
Are you going to go?
You're not going to the grand final.
I said if I do, I'll make sure I get there.
No, you're not.
You're going. What, not. Are you going?
No, I don't know.
Okay, well, we're both eligible. You brought up another one. We're both eligible to go to the life members function. It's interesting how the AFL do not respect history. I'm not looking for kudos.
Yes, they do. They do the welcome to country, mate.
But we have a room called the Rider Room.
Huh.
Years ago, when I first went along, Ian Collins was the football 2IC, and he referred to it as the engine room. These people in this particular... It was a sit-down lunch, and it was a magnificent lunch. You had to be dressed accordingly, collar and tie. A lot of respect in the room. And I looked around the room, and I saw people who made the game what it is today.
Us, Don.
No, not us, but others. Others. We only were very, very insignificant in it.
That's bullshit. We were
beneficiaries.
That is absolute
crap. We were beneficiaries. These people did a lot more. Now, this our rider room is stand-up. It's smart casual. And if you don't get your invitation in time as a life member, they fill it up with corporates. That's how much the AFL respect you. You've got to know where you come from to know where you're going. And I'm sorry the AFL and a lot of institutions are losing that.
Because they've got their head up their ass, Don. Go ahead, Phoebe. Sorry for that language.
No, that's fine. Geelong is, as we have spoken about, playing in the grand final this weekend. Sam, who do you think should be the Geelong champion that gets to present the trophy should Geelong actually win?
What do you reckon is going to be? You're trying to set him up for him.
No.
Steve Johnson.
I'm serious. I am deadly serious.
You're hurting my
no.
arm. Would it be you?
Why, Don?
Well, it wouldn't be me. But
hey, listen, why? Your old man could play football. Your old man
thank you,
could
Don.
Really play football.
I'm glad
and
he
what
was
he endured down there at that club, he did his kidneys, his ankles.
Yes, thank you, Don.
And whatever else, shut up. And the way he played his 300 games, he was really outstanding.
Now Phoebe, who do you...
So he has slagged off the CEO there for 4 years, though. I don't think he's getting an invitation.
Oh, well, I don't
invitation.
Care. You want to...
And rightly so.
Yeah.
Phoebe, who is going to prevent it?
Well, I was
should
thinking,
they win?
I was thinking about it yesterday, and I actually...
Well, who is going to?
Well, I don't know. Actually,
it's
got
to be Norm.
Yes, I don't know, but... But I was thinking...
They must have picked someone out already.
Well, they obviously have got someone.
Who would you think it would be?
Well, Max.
It's got to be Norm. It's got to be Stevie Johnson. Has to be.
Steve Johnson. Now, that's a good question. Now, why don't you find out who you should have found this out? Who's
well, I wanted
presenting.
To ask you.
No, I am, but I know. Well, who would qualify? Frank Costa's not with
he's
us
not
any
with us anymore, no.
Thank you, Phoebe. He's
Scarlett
deceased.
Enright.
Well, Scarlett Enright.
Scarlett Enright. Ablett. Ablett Jr. Ablett Sr.
Ablett Sr.
He is sitting at the table.
Anyhow, that's it. So,
is it too late to start the campaign for you, Sam?
Yes,
oh, could I now, imagine you in front and centre in the middle of the MCG?
Your shorts and your tie. In your weird loafers.
What would happen to you?
It would be a crescendo of booing.
Oh, what would happen with your dress? Weren't you thrown out of the members
I
or
was,
something?
I was.
You knocked someone out in the members too, in the urinal.
What?
Oh, many a year ago, Don. Yeah,
haven't you heard that one?
Was he looking?
Geez, what about?
You did knock someone out of the urinal.
I didn't knock anyone.
Well,
out.
We settled the score.
I punched
out.
Someone.
Well,
in
we
the
settled
urinal.
The score.
Sam, you can't do that.
What for? Were they lingering a bit too long?
No, they took his seat.
It took his seat
what? In the toilet.
What?
Right, that's it now. We're winding this up now because our guest has arrived. And now Phoebe and Max.
Don, what happened?
Fucking shut the fuck up, Don. Right, now I've lost track of what I'm doing here.